Rock. Tonight you go one-on-one with Crisp and Locke. But first, let me take you back a couple weeks ago, the last time you met a rabid Wolverine.
It was right here on SmackDown. It was Edge teaming up with The Rock against Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. Brock Lesnar coming down to the ring to distract The Rock, and Chris Benoit would take advantage.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar breaking the Rock's concentration, and Benoit, ever the opportunist, applies that crossface.
Yeah, he applied the crossface, but as Lesnar locked eyes with The Rock, who he meets in 10 days at SummerSlam, with almost a screw you to Lesnar, The Rock refused to tap out until he had no choice.
The Rock had no choice, exactly right, Cole. And right there you see it, and Lesnar's digging it.
Brock, not only did Benoit have you in the crawl space, but he said he's going to make you squeal. And
whoa, 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 whoa!
Squeal? Chris Benoit says he's going to make The Rock squeal? Well, The Rock doesn't know what squeal means. The Rock doesn't know what in the hell squeal is. What is squeal? You explain to The Rock what squeal is? Do you know what squeal is? You look like you know what squeal is. I'll tell you what, I want you to go ahead and bend over. Bend over. Bend over backwards.
Oh, no.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich. Get up. Over, bend over. Talking about bend over backwards and explain to The Rock and the audience what in the hell Chris Benoit meant. Freak. Shut up. Shut up.
Yeah, get out.
So Chris Benoit, yeah, you damn sure did make The Rock tap. You made The Rock tap once, but you make no mistake about it. Let The Rock tell you crystal clear, there ain't no way. And The Rock means no way that The Rock is gonna tap twice. So Chris Benoit, The Rock, tonight, SmackDown. This coming Monday night, one more time, The Rock, Triple H, and then on to SummerSlam with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, you wanna send a message to The Rock. You've been sending messages to The Rock. 2 weeks ago, you come out during The Rock's match sending a message to The Rock. You take out Hulk Hogan, an icon, a legend, sending a message to The Rock. Sit front row Monday night sending a message to The Rock. Well, The Rock's got a message for you. One last time, The Rock is gonna tell you this message. One message specially delivered to you, Brock Lesnar. It goes like this. It's a message from The Rock that transcends the world. The entire world speaking the Rock language. The Rock will tell you in all languages. Right here in German, Das Wien Zankastin. And if you don't understand that, Brock Lesnar and that big fat walrus who's cheering you on, here it is in Chinese, Ding Baka Wong. And if you didn't understand that, you damn sure will understand this. Good old fashioned American way, USA, just bring it.
This is Doc Gallows and the Machine Gun Carl Anderson, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy, and that's just
too sweet ski.
Woo-hoo.
Your
show,
your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant and Angry.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets.
I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
Episode 463, I think this is.
Oh, my word.
Turnbuckle Lunchbacks.
I like that.
I did a video this morning. I'm like, yeah, you're gonna have lunch with us again today.
Yeah.
So, how's everybody doing? It is Friday. It is, what, July 20-something, 29th?
July 29th.
Yeah, we're almost to my birthday, which we're taking off next week.
Yeah.
We're taking off next weekend because, A, it's my birthday. And B, we have to prep for the next Friday, which is the anniversary show, which is the 12th.
Yes.
So we got a lot of things going on, if you will, in the background. All right. So, yeah, of course, then there's like 9,000 things Jay has going on. So we're going to accommodate him because God. He actually makes the effort to come here.
Poor Phil was like completely subjected to it, like right in the middle of it. Just everything going on.
You want to extend your headphones? Because I think I plugged you in the wrong way.
I'm good.
All right, because you can. I have to. It's the option here.
I got it.
I know, but I don't know if I gave you enough slack.
No, I got more.
All right, cool. All right, so yeah, this is how it is. Listen, this is what it goes when you're growing up, and I know it. I hate it, but you know what? At the end of the day, we're still giving you guys content.
Yeah.
And we appreciate the feedback, too. We're getting a lot of good feedback lately. So, you know, thank you guys for holding us down. We appreciate you.
The lunch hour.
The Turnbuckle Lunchbacks. You know, we are almost in the dog days of summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. We're going to wing it. We got a lot of news to get into.
Oh, my God. How about last Friday?
Oh. You know what sucks? So, all right. So, now, we've been accommodating Jay because he's got a lot of shit going on between buying his house. He's getting married. He's fucking Mr. Mom now.
Yeah.
He's clean shaven.
Yeah, basically.
He wears Mr. Big shirt still. But it's like, you know, so... Now I can do that because nothing really is going on. My doctor's appointment's like in a couple of months, so I can, you know, normally I choose my Friday for errands and for doc's appointments. But he fucking do it.
It makes sense. Well, like I said, and that was the other side of it too, is that I said this to Phil a while. It's like I hate to be a burden. You know,
but it frees up the day.
But it does free up the day.
It does. Like I'm as we speak.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, you know what? Maybe I'll do something tonight. You know, and I know you'll do something tonight because you have a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
So like now we're done with the podcast last week. I upload it. It's fucking dope. And then Steph says to me, "Well, how was the podcast today?" She always asks how the podcast. I'm like, you know what? It was a good show. I mean, but just, you know, whatever. And I'll pick apart the audio on Monday. I flew off this Monday. I had a fucking flood in my apartment. I was telling Jay. So, I mean, you guys don't know about the flood. So, and my fucking calls me on Wednesday. Hey, you got your flippers? You got your fucking goggles? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take a picture of me with a floaty in there, I told him, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Matt was doing his wellness check. And he put my face on Vince McMahon today for this week's throwback. So
there you go.
Very cool. So, now, I'm at dinner last week. Two and a half hours after we're done with the podcast.
Yep.
Jay blows my phone up with like seven different Twitter references, and I'm like, what the fuck? Even Choppy, who doesn't even respond to our texts, gets involved now, right? So I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Yep.
The internet melted.
Yes.
It exploded when Vince was being naughty with his money, but now it's even worse because he's done.
Yeah.
He's done.
How about that?
He's done,
now,
done.
What? There's a lot of things to really kind of get into it with about, but the timing was not lost on me. After the stock market closes
at 4:05, it came out.
Genius timing. Without a doubt, you know, this was something in the works for a little bit. You know, and it furthers our thoughts of like when this first happened, he came out on SmackDown, that whole "you can't fuck with me" attitude. It furthers that point of that's why he did it. He didn't do it for any other reason other than good luck, motherfuckers. And then all of a sudden, these guys turned over the right rock, and they found, you know. So that being said, you know, and it's funny to say it like this, but like, I didn't see like a lot of negative stuff. Me personally, I just know there's a lot of negative stuff out there, like Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, and you know, all this stuff, creative and blah blah blah. You know, at the end of the day, it's a real. It'd be a different if this was happening, and Vince was like, "Hey guys, listen, maybe I'm a little too old at the party, or whatever the case is." And you know, if he was walking away that way, I feel like it would be better. I'm pissed off at that for that reason. Whether it's inappropriate funds and you know, he's the CEO of a company and all this stuff. Okay. You know, at the end of the day, did he do something bad? You know, I don't think it's bad as much as maybe it's immoral. Maybe would be the better way to put it. But, you know, to see Vince kind of go out this way, I think it sucks. That's just my opinion. You know, we bash creative all the time. And listen, Vince is too old to do it. But you cannot take away what he's done, you know, for professional wrestling in and of itself. So that's what I worry about this. So and then I'll put my conspiracy hat on after you say your piece. But
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. My only concern, which is what everybody's concern is now what? So now we know Stephanie's in charge. She'll share those duties with Nick Khan. John Laurinaitis is out.
Way out. Which is, by the way, Nick Khan, I never watched this show, Succession. I hear it's a really good show. Nick Khan has to be, I don't know anything much about business, but he has to be one of the fastest rising CEOs of any company in history. You're talking 2 years, 2.5 years? This dude is the CEO of a company. Either he has an ungodly amount of dirt on Vince and the McMahon family, or he's just that fucking good. It's one or the other.
That, and now Triple H once again is now in charge of creative.
Which I was very surprised about. In the sense of, I you know, how much was he going to take? What kind of a role he was going to take? We knew he was going to be the EVP of talent. You know, but to take on head of creative too, and you could see this week, he's there at the SummerSlam tryouts. This may be really good. Everybody's optimistic about it.
Yeah, everybody, yeah.
Everybody's optimistic
because the public, the fans, and the good fans, so, you know, to be honest with you, feel like Vince is the reason why the product itself is on a decline. Not the company.
Yes.
The product is on a decline because of the way they handle their talent and the way they handle their programming and the way they handle their, you know, everything that's creative. And
they're higher ups from us.
I didn't know. I had no idea. Again, we're blue collar scholars here. We know nothing about corporate America,
yeah.
Unless what we hear on podcasts and you know, if you're a fan of NPR or any other political podcast or financial podcast.
And Cornette had, you know, a great, you know, a really kind of a great thought in the sense of, like he said, somebody, and once again, it can't. We all thought it was Nick Khan was the one that was dropping the dime. I don't know. Because now I'm going back on it. What Cornette says is perfect sense. And what Freddie Prinze Jr. said. Freddie Prinze Jr. has a podcast, which everybody apparently has a podcast, including us.
Yeah, of course.
But
we did it before everybody else did.
He had a great analogy. He goes, you know, somebody's dropping the dime. And he goes, and it isn't Nick Khan. And he goes, and I'll tell you why it's not Nick Khan. He goes,
because he wants his job.
Because no, not even that. Because Stephanie McMahon is a killer. He says, I'm not talking, you know,
in the bedroom.
Character. I'm not talking. I'm talking a fucking killer. She will literally bite his head off. She goes, everybody think Triple H is this political monster backstage? He goes, nothing on Stephanie. Stephanie as the businesswoman, would there's no way ever she would stand for that. If she knew it. If this were true and she knew.
Yeah, but Jay, if your dad was Vince McMahon and you've been involved in the business since you're fucking 10 years old.
Think of what Vince has done in the past with the idea of the ballsiness of going to other TV stations with a suitcase full of money.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Take them. And
I already said on Facebook, yeah.
Immoral, you know, that's a whole different argument.
Just talk about business. We're not talking about his morals.
Yes.
He retired because of his moral ethics, but...
Yeah.
But the, you know, listen, every good business, I'll give you good examples. How about the Raiders? Al Davis was a visionary. With the AFL and then the NFL, and then he started the whole ownership thing, and he was the guy who moved the team to fucking Oakland because the LA wouldn't give him a Coliseum.
Yep.
Then he goes back to LA,
yep.
And it's like, and then all of a sudden, like, he's this visionary. He saw the merger, the AFL and the NFL, and his son is now running the business.
Yeah.
Not very good, but he is, but he's been in the business as a kid. The Steinbrenners. If you're a Yankee fan, George Steinbrenner literally bought the team for $10 million back in 1970. I don't know what the fuck it was.
Whatever it was, yeah.
Right? He bought it for $10 million off of CBS. Right? Tribune, whatever the fuck they were called. Okay? They're now worth over $4 billion.
That's a good deal.
And they're the most financially stable, most popular sports team in the world. Not just in New York, in the Bronx, in the Queens, in the five boroughs. Not just in New York State. But in the fucking world.
Yep.
Better than Manchester United, better than the Miami Dolphins, better than the Dallas Cowboys, who's quote-unquote America's team, which is bullshit, but that's another story. Now, the business model that Vince McMahon has made the last 40 years, I told you last week, has been replicated by almost every other fucking wrestling promoter, or tried to be. Every other promoter tried to get their own TV, tried to get their own fucking territory, tried to get their own streaming services, Impact and Ring of Honor. I see where you're going with that, you know? But this business model that he had, he's a fucking visionary.
Yeah.
Straight up.
And that's why I'm upset that he's going out this way. That's the only reason.
No, it goes back to the paternal Sandusky thing, right? You know, in 20 years,
different.
In 20 years, if the business, listen, I'm going to ask you this, and I waited a week to ask you this. I was going to ask you this on the text message, but I'm going to wait. Let's say, hypothetically, their business stays the way it is talent-wise, like stagnant, you know, creative-wise, stagnant for the next 10 years, 15 years. Let's say they're still making money, but they're stagnant. Let's say, right, hypothetical. Now the books are going to come out and the documentaries are going to come out and all the bullshit is going to come out. My question to you is, are they going to remember Vince McMahon for starting this boom, or are they going to remember him for paying off all these women with company funds to up his libido? As we see Stephanie come down the aisle. Look at this deliciousness.
Yeah, she looked good back
Stephanie
then.
2002.
She looks good now, but...
She can still get it.
Yep.
But like, are they going to remember Vince for that, or are they going to remember Vince for the legacy? It's like Joe Paterno. No one's talking about the legacy and the statue they had to take down in Penn State. They just remember him covering for Sandusky after he found out what Sandusky was doing and didn't do anything about it. You know, it's football and wrestling, but it's the same concept, though. You know, are they going to remember you for the, like, some of our most famous people in this country, you know, did some shady shit, but they're never recognized for all the stuff that they did do, you know?
Well, I mean, and that's the idea of it is that's what I don't like about it. And like let's, you know, but who are we talking about? We're Rick Flair, Rod from Hell stuff and all this stuff.
Oh, the Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
Dark Side of the Ring. I'm listening to too much Pink Floyd lately.
And, you know, that all happened. And then Ric Flair was being dragged through the mud again. What are we doing now? We're celebrating Ric Flair.
Well.
In a sense of saying we're not talking time.
I want to believe that. I do.
So now this is where I was talking about with the conspiracy side of it. I don't doubt that Vince is stepping down. I don't doubt Stephanie, Nick Khan are the co-CEOs. I do not doubt that Triple H is the head of creative. I do not doubt that Vince and all Vince is, once you, like you said, is the visionary. There's no doubt in my mind. Somebody has sat down with him in these past few weeks and gone, Vince, the only way out of this is out. You want to be wiped clean, they can bring him back in. And I think that is what's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be right away. I think it'll be in small spurts. You know, something's happening on TV. He's going to call Steph. He's still going to have his hands in it.
But he's not going to be sitting in Gorilla.
He's not going to be sitting in Gorilla. He's not going to have the final say.
Okay.
Yet.
Which is my, that was the public's concern too. Like, is he still going to have his?
This isn't a work. I
don't think it can't. Listen, you made the front page of the Wall Street Journal, the most successful financial publication still in print. That's not on the internet. Facts, okay? Variety, TMZ, Fox Sports, Sports Illustrated, ESPN. You've made every cover of every fucking entity that's out there that makes money move.
Yep.
In entertainment. And you know, it's not a work. Okay? It's not a work. Shane's not coming back though.
No.
And there's something up there.
Well,
I'm gonna steal your tin hat for 30 seconds. I think the whole thing with the Rumble soured the family. I think they had legit heat because of what he did to the Rumble. So I'm thinking like maybe he had a falling out with Stephanie or Triple H.
I think it goes further than that. I'm hanging my hat on that. That's when they started investigating stuff.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah,
and that's where Shane found out this was all happening with his dad. And I'm not sitting there denying maybe that Shane and Steph. Listen, I don't think Vince and Linda are living in the same house. It's probably no secret between them. I'm assuming, okay, but it's the idea of that's happening. It's peculiar because like I'm starting to think about it where it's like, is Shane upset that his dad's doing this on the marriage, but does he not know that that they're not together anymore? Are they together? We don't even know. We're assuming they're not together. They're not legally divorced. They're still married. You know, are they living in different houses? I'm assuming that's it. Does Shane not know? Is it so insulated that they have no idea about this stuff, you know? So I think the stuff at the Rumble was Shane's way out of going, well, fuck this. I don't want to be near the old man. I'm out of here. You know what I mean? That type of stuff. I don't know. But like I said, did it create a wedge in it? There's no denying that there's always been some sort of a wedge, just small, between Triple H and Shane in the sense of that, once again, like I said, maybe Shane's walked around thinking it's going to be his. He's the heir apparent. He's the older sibling. It's supposed to be his. But you can't deny what Steph has done. And lover or hater, you can't deny what she's been in this business for over 20 years at this point, and if not longer, you know. But I'm just saying a hands-on approach. It's been the early 2000s. She, you know, is made for this. Shane has other interests, you know, and he's done stuff outside and been successful outside and everything else. I don't think he doesn't have the certain aptitude, not saying he couldn't be taught or what have you, but the idea of what they got going on now where Triple H is the head of creative. He's not the CEO. He's not the end-all be-all for the business. He doesn't care about the business side. He doesn't care about what T-shirts they got next or what toys they got next.
Right, right, right.
He doesn't give a shit, and he doesn't need to. You need that separation, which is going to be healthier for the company, creative-wise, I should say.
Right.
So Shane's, I think, is out with the wind. I think, you know, I don't think there's anything to worry about right now. Hopefully he comes back at some point. I'm a big Shane fan. But... The thing is, what happens, you know? And like I said, there's a new breath of fresh air, it seems like. And, You know, this stuff is it. This is more interesting than what's happening on camera. I'm loving it.
Well, that's a good segue.
Yeah.
You know, they're in Nashville this weekend for SummerSlam, and you know, there's tryouts. There's local wrestlers there doing tryout. I guess they're holding a tryout there.
Yeah. There's a great video with Paul Heyman.
Yeah, that's what I was getting
great
into.
Great fucking.
It was
video.
A great. It was great. Really
if
good.
Listen, say what you want about Triple H. There's no denying how good NXT was from 2015 to 2021. It was, without a doubt, TakeOver every time it was out was the number one show. Triple H can book. We all know this. But you got Paul Heyman to the right of you, to the left of you, whatever the case is. That's just extra artillery. And I love seeing Paul there. Because maybe Triple H is saying, okay, I got all these natural resources. You got the Shawn Michaels. You got the Michael Hayes. You got Paul Heyman.
You got Bruce Pritchard.
I like Pritchard. I think he's a little bit of a yes man.
He's a smart dude, though.
Yeah.
Man.
Jim Cornette has a great take of what's happened.
Yes.
Also, Bischoff is another one. He talked about it.
I didn't hear what Bischoff said.
He had about a 2-hour podcast about it. And
he does the 83 weeks,
yeah,
whatever it is.
And he had a great, him and Conrad were going back and forth with it.
Conrad. Yeah. Sorry.
And but Bischoff has another one who has a like Freddie Prinze has a hands on approach, knowing the innards.
Knowing the inside, yeah, of
and
course.
And he had, and I just wanted, and we'll end it with this, is because I never thought of it this way. Think of the stuff that Vince has been, what we've been reading about for the last 2 years, rewriting shows day of, hours before, taking, you got so many people writing, they spend all this time typing it up, handing it out to people, and then Vince gets it, he rips it up and changes it. You know, that's deflating if you are any kind of worker. Imagine busting your ass and then all of a sudden you build this beautiful house and then it just comes in and out and goes, I don't like it, make me a new one. And after a while, that's the reason why it's not strong enough to last that way. Excuse me. With Triple H, maybe you change it. That's how you change it. Hey guys, let's have a more simplistic approach to this. You know what I mean? Let's get in a room. Let's draw out storyboards, all this stuff, instead of night of booking. You know, I think that's going to be the change. So, like you said, so they...
Yeah. No, so, I mean, no, perfect sense. And then, you know, they're in Nashville. Apparently, Triple H already has an influence on what's going on for the weekend. I don't know if any plans have been changed for the card.
Well, they already canceled one match.
Which is?
Matt Riddle against Seth Rollins.
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, let's get into the card.
Yeah.
Right away. All right, so SummerSlam tomorrow. It's on a Saturday, which is stupid again, but whatever. It's from Nashville, Tennessee. It's in the stadium where the Titans play.
Yeah.
NFL Titans. All right, your first match, the Mysterios versus Judgment Day, no DQ. I'll pick the Mysterios, and I think Edge is going to return.
I was wondering what the plans for Edge was going to be.
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense. I mean, Edge coming out, hopefully we start there, and then we just transition. Let them get it. Yeah, Judgment Day, get their comeuppance, and move on from there.
Logan Paul taking on The Miz.
You know, I really Logan Paul's gonna win. The Miz can lose every match and still have his heat.
Right. Fair.
But I'm kind of interested in it, kind of not. But
at least he's taking it seriously. So
yes. Without a doubt.
I like when the celebrity.
I'd like to know what kind of deal he has, though. Is he a part timer?
I don't know.
I'm assuming he's going to be a part-timer.
He did a whole video on his signing and everything, so.
Yeah.
U.S. title, Bobby Lashley defends against Theory, who's also the Money in the Bank winner.
Yeah. This one's got me thrown, because how does Theory lose? Like I said,
I'm a big fan of Theory, too.
Yeah. I like Theory. You know, I also, you know, right to the situation of, you know, you can lose and still have your heat, but if you're the Money in the Bank holder, it's a little bit more difficult.
I think he's not only going to lose Theory, but I think he may even lose his Money in the Bank cash in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you think he's going to cash in later on?
He already said he's going to cash in.
He said he's going to cash in at SummerSlam. There you go.
You Undisputed Tag Team Championship, the Usos versus the Street Profits. Special guest referee, Nashville, Tennessee native, J-E-double-F, J-E-double-R. Ha ha, E-double-T.
Why does Jeff Jarrett got to be here? I mean, because there's really no reason for this to be happening.
Oh, because it's in Nashville and he's a Tennessee guy, so I see him getting involved, maybe giving the Profits the win, like him like, you know, not necessarily defending the Profits, but defending the Profits from cheating.
Yeah,
you know, so
like I said, I hope they don't break up the Street Profits.
Yeah, Angelo Dawkins would be fucked if they break them up.
Yeah, I mean. I love them together. Montez Ford's a star. I like Angelo Dawkins. I just don't want that. I definitely do not want them to break up. But I don't want to see the Usos lose yet. I do not want to see the Usos lose.
Me either. But I think they are. Happy Corbin versus Pat McAfee. How does Pat McAfee not win this match?
Yeah, he has to. You know, and you know, I'm just afraid of too much exposure of Pat McAfee wrestling now. You know,
yeah, he signs his big deal.
He's had three matches. You know, the match with Cole, the War Games match, and the match with Theory.
I forgot about the War Games match.
All three, he's shined.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just a matter of time until it doesn't happen anymore. Up to him? So okay. I hope that doesn't happen. This
especially to Corbin. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Of all people.
Bianca Belair defends the Raw Women's title against Becky Lynch.
You got to go with Bianca Belair.
Yeah, me too.
You know, Becky Lynch is literally the biggest star. Women wise, you know, maybe even compared to some men.
But
Bianca Belair's got to win.
Now, in on the SmackDown side,
this is a hard one.
Does Liv Morgan retain? Is this her first defense or second?
This is like her second defense. But what do you do? You made this big moment.
I keep her in her place for a while.
I think you keep her there. I think you give her a nice clean win. But I don't want to see Liv Morgan kind of, you know, get the big moment and then get taken away. Ron, like I said, a wrestling match is old school wrestling, you know, ways is anybody can win at any time. That's why you wrestle, you know, and, you know, like I said, you know, sized up wise, you know, Becky Lynch can destroy Liv Morgan in any kind of fight, but a wrestling match, you know, she could slip on a banana peel and have her shoulders down on the ground for three seconds.
It's true.
So I think it happens that way.
And, of course, for the Universal Championship, Roman Reigns defends against Brock Lesnar in a last man standing match.
Yeah, but the stuff surrounding Brock, you know, I wonder if it's changed.
Since Triple H has been there? It's been a week.
Well, like I said, in the sense of that, you know, the story going around, which who knows if it's a work or not, you know, was Vince is gone, then I'm gone. And then Brock allegedly walked out.
No, he went for a walk to the market, you know, in Boston last week. That's what he did.
Yeah.
He went for a walk, and he walked in Harvard Yard. That's what he did. Okay, I see Roman Reigns winning as well.
Yeah.
I think I see Theory cashing in. And losing. So
yeah.
That's what I think. Stick with WWE real quick. I didn't see NXT, so I don't have any notes on them, so I didn't watch NXT. However, 2 days ago, they announced that WrestleMania 40 is coming to Philly, so the boys are already planning the fucking road trip. So
I like it.
We're going to be... I think all of us will be there. We have enough time now to prepare and get ourselves ready. Jay and I are the closest to everybody else, so we have no fucking excuse not to go.
Yeah.
Even just for the weekend, even if we're not going to the actual event itself, but it's a nice field. Philly is a good town, except for their sports fans; they're miserable.
Yeah.
So I see myself down there for everything. Actually, I'm going to make time and make the money to be down there for the con and in the convention center, and I'll be there for.
Yeah, I definitely.
I want to go to the Hall of Fame finally.
Ooh, we got to see who's going to be inducted.
I like the arena, too. I've been there for a Flyers game. I've been there for NXT. You know what I'm saying? Listen.
We should make predictions. It's going to be some ECW original.
I'm telling you. Rob Feinstein's already promoting his Icons of Wrestling thing, so there's going to be so much shit going on down there that weekend. I'm excited. NXT, you're going to have NWA might be there. I'm sure MLW will be there. New Japan will probably be there. You know what I'm saying? ROH will probably be there, unless Tony Khan allows AEW people over there.
Which might be.
We'll see what happens. But either way, even without Ring of Honor, you still have a ton of shit going on down there. So I'm excited for Philly. Philly's a good town. They always treat us good. I've been going there since the 90s for wrestling and baseball. So either way, it's a win-win for everybody. And I think that's it for WWE. Anything else for WWE? I don't know.
No, that's it. We're going to talk about Ric Flair's last match.
Or which one? Did you watch Dynamite?
Oh, I did watch Dynamite, yeah.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. Listen, me personally, Bryan Danielson being back, I keep wanting to call him Daniel Bryan. I love the fact that he came back. Looks great as ever. That Ricky Starks promo.
Oh yeah,
fucking fire.
You got to watch Taz's video after the war. He just talks about the FTW title and yes. Hook is there. That's pretty cool too.
Yeah, I I did like. I did like.
But
that.
Ricky started in power on him.
Yeah, but what was the thing you sent me yesterday? It just popped into my head with fucking. I meant to text you back with that. The Eddie Kingston thing. Was it the Eddie Kingston genius?
Oh, the real men of real Eddie Kingston the genius, yeah.
That's so fucking good.
And that's an inside joke because Jay and I, on the way home from when Jay first joined the podcast, we would drive home and we'd listen to Eddie Trunk, and then one of the commercials were the real men of genius.
Real men of genius.
And we would make our own up on the way home.
Oh, I love that.
So the Roosh John Moxley match was good.
Yes.
El Toro Blanco getting a title shot, which is not bad. Moxley wins with the Bulldog choke.
Yeah.
That wasn't bad. Let's see, who else fought that night? Let me see here. I talked about Ricky Starks beating Danhausen.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Listen, by the way, I really want to dress up either Dylan or Malaika as Danhausen. Because I show Dylan all the time, Danhausen. I was like, yo, you remind me of him, just like the way that he does stuff. He doesn't see it, but.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dante Martin, Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, and supposedly Dante Martin got injured during the match.
Yeah.
And Sammy Guevara just celebrating a birthday, I believe, I've seen on the old Twitter space.
Yep. Jungle Boy cuts a promo.
Another great promo, by the way.
Yeah.
That and, you know, and what, next week? Is it next week they're going to have Christian against Matt Hardy?
I think so, yeah. Well, we haven't seen that 9,000 times.
Yeah.
Tony Nese and Smart Mark versus Swerve. That was good. And Thunder Rosa fought Yamashita from, I think she's from Shimmer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good match. And I think that's it. No, of course, Danielson. You said Danielson Garcia.
Yeah.
Daniel Garcia is a star. I told everybody
big
that.
Time, dude. And especially the stuff he's doing down at PWG, too, as well.
He almost won the Pure title from fucking Wheel of Yuta.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. As we all know, it's Ric Flair's last match, and if you pay for the $200, you get all the gimmicks.
How much is it for just for the match, though?
I think it's like $30 or $40.
That's not terrible, but
nah,
still,
it's on Sunday.
Still not paying it.
No, I'm not paying it either. Thank you, Conrad. You eat a bag of fried dicks. Tony Schiavone, David Crockett, and Ian Riccaboni are going to be calling the action. Tony Hannifin and Scott DeMaul will be representing Impact. Joe Dombrowski and Dave Prazak will be representing MLW.
Yep.
And Carlos Cabrera
and
Hugo Seminovich as the Spanish announce team.
Love it.
All right, Jay, here we go. The Impact title's on the line. Davey Guns.
I'll say it later, but
no, you can take
fucking
it.
Great match. Listen, I know you're not the biggest fan of Conrad at all, but
no, I'm not.
Dude, this guy, he gets it. This card is stacked.
Yeah. Let's see. I think I scrolled down too much here. Hold on a minute. Fuck. Hold on a minute. This computer is the worst. Come on, jerk off. All right, here we go. There's a Bunkhouse Battle Royal. Let me tell you who's in that. Bully Ray, James Page from Progress.
Yes.
Big Damo from Progress. Crowbar, Brian Myers, Ringo Loco. Wolfie D
from
PG-13.
From Nashville, I believe.
That's right.
Or Memphis, at least.
Cal Hero from OVW and other ones to be. And then the Four Corners Independent Wrestling Dream Match, Jonathan Gresham versus McQueen. The Legends Match, Rick Brock Anderson with Double A.
Hoot Gibson Robert Gibson on the outside and Double A on the outside. Farewell tour, but Robert must be feeling hurt.
Yeah, I think he's hurt. The Impact MLW promotional interpromotional match, the Briscoes versus Devon Erics.
Cannot fucking wait.
That's gonna be a good match.
Like I said, I was telling Phil on the way, you know, before, you know, I'm what, 4 months, but I just seen the fucking FTR Briscoes match from 3-4 months ago. I was like, holy shit. First off, these Briscoes are fucking insane.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, the Ring of Honor card, Death Before Dishonor was a good card.
And
if you didn't see it, please watch it. I'm not going to go over it now.
And it's made me interested in this match, because like you said, these guys are beasts, man.
Yeah, FTR just got by last week. It was a good a really great match. Clark Connors versus Ren Narita and New Japan LA Dojo match. It's going to be good. Triple A four way. Bandido versus Black Taurus versus Laredo Kid versus Ray Fenix. I can't say Phoenix no more because then Michael gets Barry Hammer. It's MLW Killer Cross versus Davey Boy Smith Jr.
And a second match. I forgot that they had a match at Bloodsport.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
But dude, stacked.
New Jersey's own Deonna Purrazzo defends the Knockouts Championship. Oh, I'm sorry, goes against with H. Jordan Grace being over there. Jew versus
for this match.
Jeff Jarrett, Idolo, his father-in-law, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Yeah. You know, they've, like I said, I'll give the credit to Conrad. They've done a real of promoting this. I did Jarrett this past week, but I know all this stuff. But I'm enjoying that, like the idea of they're blurring the lines a little bit. You know, Jarrett could still go. Jay Lethal, there's no doubt about it. Andrade, I think, is just going to be the one that's just going to be able to get the biggest rub out of this. And, you know, looking back on, we're going to be talking about a Flair match later. Looking back on, you know, Flair's going to get his spots in. You know, he's going to get, you know, the buckle to the corner, you know, come out, pop up, you know, backdrop. You know, come off the top with a rocket launcher. You know, I'd be interested to see if he could do the flare flip in the corner. You know, run it to the other side. If he can do that, listen. You know, I think it's looking good.
That's a good segue.
Yeah,
he's got to answer his phone.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna take a break anyway.
Oh yeah, but so, I'm excited for this. I'm excited for this match. Like I said, I'd rather pay $40 than $200. That's for shit.
Oh, fuck yeah. Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. I forgot to mention that we were live. I think we mentioned we were live on a rant.
We're live on a rant.
And we're part of the Shining Wizards Network, and we're part of Dark Satellite Media or whatever Jimmy Ferrari's doing.
Lunchtime laughs here.
It's a lunch break with the throwbacks. Taking a quick break, though. We'll be back in 3 minutes and 16 seconds.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Are you tired of being uninformed? Together, we can change all of that. Experience a podcast like you've never heard before. You'll gain knowledge, have some laughs, because we believe this is the last AEW podcast you'll ever need. Join us every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. on rantemradio.com and Facebook Live. We can also be found on all major podcast forums as part of the Shining Wizards Network. So stop listening to inferior AEW podcasts and bring a new podcast into your life by joining us.
Join the Mark Order Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Mark Order Pod and on Facebook.com/Mark Order Pod. Don't forget to tag us on social media and use hashtag Join the Mark Order, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. When it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantemradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to shiningwizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your host of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AEW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil J and that pain in the ass, Choppy.
I know your every move. I've heard your every word. I know you well. And I've got nothing your threats I find absurd. I am your hell.
I am your hell.
Once again, we're back on the early 2000s new metal.
This is Jim Johnson, actually. This is Jim Johnson original.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he's singing, but that's him. That's his music.
I don't know. I loved it when Taker came out. Dead Man Walking.
You're going down.
Fucking
blah, 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 blah.
Love that song, by the way. Love that song.
New metal.
By the way, did you catch on the talking about songs? Did you catch? Was it Max Caster who made a comment about Billy Gunn being the one?
Yep. Yeah, they're growing on me. The Acclaimed.
Yeah,
they're growing on me. Well, I always like Bones anyway. That's our boy. So. Auntie Bones. We've been watching Auntie Bones for like at least 5-6 years now. All right. Are you ready for our throwback?
Let's do a throwback.
All right. Let's do it up.
And now, here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right, partner. We're kicking it back to August the 25th, 2002.
We're in the L.I.
Strong Island representing.
Yeah.
From the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Uniondale, New York.
Dumb question. Did you go?
No.
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 Too far?
No, I just was in my career at this point. I was like knee deep in EMS. I was working like fucking 70 hours a week at that point. I didn't start going to live events again. I went to WrestleMania 20 that around that time, and I did like an independent show in Brooklyn. Other than that, I didn't do anything until 2006.
Oh shit! Okay.
So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, home of the four-time, I hate to say this, Stanley Cup champion New York Islanders. I'll give it where it's due. If you're a hockey fan, it's the barn. They called it the barn. Numerous WrestleMania 2 was there, actually.
Yeah.
My favorite WrestleMania. And multiple Saturday Night's main events. I mentioned this morning, I did a video for the kids on the Facebook page, and I mentioned I was three rows or four rows from the ring when One Man Gang first made his debut for WWF, and he fought Hulk Hogan.
Oh, shit.
And no one knew who the One Man Gang was in the aisle except for me. I was like, don't you guys read fucking magazines? I knew who the gang was. I saw multiple WWF matches there. So, and I think I was actually at a Saturday Night's Main Event taping, but it wasn't for. They didn't have the banners up. So I forget where I was. I have to look it up because now my memory's starting to fade me if I don't write this shit down.
Yeah, you got to start writing it down.
I got to start writing the shit down. But yeah, the Coliseum is very popular.
It's very associated with WWE. Well, though WCW Crockett has run there.
Yeah, the Bunkhouse Stampede was actually there in 88, and I'm pissed I missed that.
Yeah.
But
it is very synonymous with.
Correct. WWF. Basically, listen. The mecca of sports entertainment will forever be Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And I don't care what Toronto says. I don't care what Boston says. That was the mecca. That was home base for the McMahons and Titan Sports.
Well, even like you said, I mean, just in sports in general, I it does.
It's hard.
The Garden transcends.
Listen, if you ask any NBA player, you ask any NHL player who's not a Knick or a Ranger. They will tell you, one of my dreams was to play Madison Square
Absolutely.
Garden. Michael Jordan walked in here and destroyed us every single time he fucking played here. Kobe Bryant, same thing. Wayne Gretzky. The Islanders abused us here in their heyday when their four Stanley Cup rings, right? So you have to understand, this is the... And then, so the Coliseum was like, I don't want to say the stepchild of the Garden, but it was home base also when they ran shows even up against Crockett.
Yep.
When they came to Philly, because sometimes they go to Philly, the Crockett to be across the street at the Civic Center.
Yep.
So there was always that thing. But the only problem with the Coliseum, well, there's two things wrong with it. One, it was fucking dumb old, and they never renovated it. But two, I mean, dude, if you ever drove there, and you're not from Long Island, you're fucked.
Oh yeah, never.
There's
been.
One way
never
in
been.
And one way out. There's no fucking side roads. There's no, if you're coming from the highway, from the Grand Central, whatever it is, you're fucked, and you'll sit in traffic. For EMS guys, it's the big convention every year, February.
Oh, okay.
They have the fire and EMS expo there every year.
Oh, no
so
shit.
So when the new ambulances came out, all the new gear, we all went there every year to do it. That, FD versus PD, fucking hockey.
Yeah.
So the sides would be split. I went to arena football there. I've seen multiple guys. So the first... reunion of the original Black Sabbath there. I've seen, oh my God, the shows I've seen there. Pantera. I've seen, well, they opened for Sabbath, but they also headlined.
Yeah.
White Zombie. I saw fucking Metallica there. I've seen Slayer there. I've seen Megadeth there. Oh my God. Who else? Biohazard, Sepultura. Fucking ridiculous. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Sepultura was supposed to play. Max broke his knee.
Oh shit.
So it was Pantera and Biohazard, which was pretty dope. And Prong, snap your fingers, snap your neck. I've seen the Ice Capades at the Coliseum. I've seen everything at the Coliseum. It was also cheaper than the Garden, too, at that point when you were a kid. All right. So now this is obviously the continuation of Raw versus SmackDown, basically. You know how it goes. Jim Johnson was the brains behind that song, Fight.
Yeah.
14,797 in attendance. Both SmackDown and Raw... announced teams are in effect. It's Mitchell Cole and Taz, JR and the King on the Raw side.
I was never a fan of JR and the King being like in the aisleway in that little dais thing over there. And
yeah.
And like, I understand, aesthetically speaking, the difference, that's how you tell the difference of it. But I don't know. Like, to me, commentators are supposed to be, at the action. So, and I know JR has always said that quite a few times, but it did have its good things and bad things. But, Taz, by the way, as green as we said he was last pay-per-view, was not as much on this one. I really enjoyed his commentary on this one.
Yeah. And Taz is home too. Taz actually lives on the island. I think he still does.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we had a Sunday Night Heat match. Stevie Knight Heat, as we used to call it, right?
Yep.
He lost, actually, to Spike Dudley.
Ah, there you go. Spike Dudley.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the card.
First match is Rey Mysterio's pay-per-view debut.
Is it really?
He had just came to the company.
I didn't know that. I know he's in June. The company. Yeah, he's 20 years in already.
Yeah, he had come in early July, I believe, or early June, and he... his first pay-per-view match was against Kurt Angle, and Jesus fucking Christ, what a match.
Yeah.
we can't say enough good things about Kurt Angle on the show, and this is why he's so good. That, you know, he has the match against Hulk Hogan. It's a Hogan style match, but Kurt Angle makes the match. You know, he has a match against The Rock. It's The Rock style match, but it's such a great match. There's a huge pattern there where Kurt Angle has this innate ability to, I guess, almost like, I don't want to say make his opponent better. Yeah, he does that. But in the sense of that, he gets the ultimate shine. And saying that, like, you know, he has matches against Shawn Michaels. It's an HBK style match, but it's just Kurt Angle, for the amount of time he's in the business at this point, he's only in WWE for 2 years. Three years at this point.
2 years, I think.
And
he made his debut in 01, right? Yeah. So, Royal Rumble.
And he unbelievable. And he, what a match. Rey Mysterio in, and, you know, it's kind of funny to see Rey Mysterio, you know, during this time, and you could see him, and he's, you know, he's gotten thicker, you know, not fatter, just, you know, more muscle per se and what have you. And what a match, especially for his first go round. You know, to come out with a loss, once again, say what you want about Vince, but he always, for whatever reason, WCW can't come in and have a win. WCW is not better than WWEF at this point.
No. There is no WCW.
Yeah. But, you know, and because Mysterio came in a year later because he had a good contract with Time Warner and decided to sit it out. And, hey, listen, you're getting paid to stay home. There's no better feeling than that.
A lot of guys got paid to stay home.
You know, but he, but, you know, to come out with a loss, it's kind of shitty. I never understood that a guy could debut and, you know, lose. Once again, it's going against what I always say, but, you know, Rey Mysterio being a babyface, you know, should have had a big win. But, you know, be that as it may.
I'll just counter with the whole thing with them not when guys aren't when their superstars weren't homemade.
Yeah.
They got treated differently.
And it's clear. I mean, you could say whatever you want to say. But the proof is in the pudding there. It's exactly how it happened.
Is this the Moonsault match, or was that Mania?
That was Mania.
Okay. We're watching SummerSlam 2003 now, I think it is.
Yeah.
It's just on loop on the cock. All right. Your next match, and I'm glad that you,
Oh, this is the IC belt, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be, who's it? Guerrero? Not Guerrero.
No, it's Rob
Benoit
Van,
against...
Benoit, Rob Van Damme.
Yeah. First off, what a fucking match.
Yeah.
Rob Van Dam, we said it multiple times on this show.
Rob Van Dam was the challenger. Chris Benoit was the IC champion.
And they had a real hokey, you know, live backstage thing with Steph and Bischoff. And, you know, I it was just bad acting. And it just, you know, you could tell it was filmed live. And, but what a fucking match. Van Damme, we said it multiple times, how he was legitimately the best in the world. At one point,
he was the best performer, yeah.
You know, and like I said, say what you want at this point in 02, you know, he was the best. And
Van Damme never got that props from the casual fan because he had that ECW stank on him.
Yeah, you and know, he was
a lot of guys did.
He was one of them that could he was able to transcend and come.
Yeah,
but it was so good, and one of the only matches I ever seen where he actually his hair tie came flying out.
All right, I've seen that a few times.
Yeah,
I think against Cena that happened at the second one night stand.
Oh, maybe yeah.
I have to rewatch that. All right, so here's my big question because I asked you. I made a statement, and you said, oh, I know why. And I'm like, I'm glad you know, because I didn't do any research. So, Chris Benoit, obviously, you know, no one talks about him for obvious reasons. We still recognize the talent. If he's on a card, we're going to talk about it. We're not going out of our way.
Yeah.
My brother will be on the show soon to give his conspiracy theories about what his regarding his death, and that's another story. Hopefully, we're getting that very soon. Actually,
yeah,
that I've got confirmation. But anyway, Chris Benoit comes down with the IC title, and it's blurred out.
Yeah,
Jay knows why.
So obviously,
because when he loses, it's not blurred out.
Yeah, well, that's just a mistake. So it's blurred out. It's blurred out for the fact of during this time, we know WWF turns into WWE, and they get the F out. The Panda beat the wrestler, and the World Wildlife Fund, which was London based, they won, and they basically said that you can't use the initials anymore. So that's when they changed it to WWE. But now Vince runs into this huge fucking problem of, I've got 20 years worth of fucking material with WWF on the turnbuckle pads, on the ring, on the ring skirts, on everything. They had one fella who was in charge of going back.
Oh my God!
Blurring everything. So now this is 2002. We've gotten the F out. But now,
when I fought, that only happened a few months prior.
Come 2007, 2008, the World Wildlife Fund, the Panda's coming for some money, saying, "Hey, you're still using our likeness, and it's not the scratch WWF. It's the block WWF. The belt was still carried over from late 2000s.
Wow.
So there was one gentleman, I'll think of his name, but shout out to, I've really been following him as of late, Brandon Thurston, I think his name is.
Yes.
The WrestleNomics guy.
WrestleNomics.
He had this fella on.
Get him on the show.
He was let go from the company. He was with the company for about 15 years, 16 years. So come 2007, 2008, they're starting the 24/7 WWE on demand, but now he's head up to go, he's got to go back in time.
And blur everything out.
Blur everything
out. Oh, my God. That's a great story. Thank you.
Dude.
I had no idea.
And he goes into, it's really, I mean, it's a nerd fest.
No, dude, this is fantastic. This is why we do this.
I'll send you the link.
Yeah.
Yo,
please do that.
About it. And
please do that. We got to get that guy on the show,
He was a part of a lot of the acquisitions of AWA belt. He went, the footage, he went to Gagne's house and talked to him, and he would call back to the Ivory Tower saying, "Hey, listen, all this stuff, world class, the territories, all this."
Sure.
He was a part of all of that. This guy was a wealth of information. But then he headed up. So like we're looking at WW3 2003 right now. You could see the scratch logo is okay.
Yeah.
But it was the block. WWF was not okay. Go figure.
Wow.
Yep. Little tidbit. Well, anyway, so going back to the match, what a fucking match. I love the fact that it took only one frog splash to do it. And it goes back to the saying of that anybody can lose on any day. And, it's just like one thing about Rob Van Dam and this is just critiquing, is that, getting his ass kicked the whole match, and he could still do the one hop up to the top rope, like, sell that a little bit. This is just...
Hey, listen, there was couples of some color. Benoit got his mouth busted open at one point.
Van Dam got a receipt and looked like...
Absolutely.
From him.
And you know what's cool? Like, Benoit is not a... Obviously, he's not a high flyer at all. So he basically cuts the ring in half and actually makes Van Dam work for it, which makes the match even that better.
Yeah.
Because the match got better as it progressed. It went almost 17 minutes.
And it was
fantastic. Exactly. But as it went in, it got better. There was a couple submission spots. I remember one spot where, so there was a reversal, and Benoit took Van Damme's arms and actually made him choke himself with the cross choke, whatever you want to call it. Good match, though. All right, your next match, though, was even better, almost as good. How about 50-fucking-year-old Ric Flair fighting Chris Jericho?
What a great match.
Yeah.
And that's what it made me think of it, too, where it's like, oh, we're going to, like, the Flair flop, going to see that spot. Oh, backdrop.
Him breaking the Fozzy setup.
Yes.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I forgot about that, too. I can't believe Foz has been around that long, too.
Yeah, don't get me started.
But
he had some guys from Stuck Mojo in his band. I think they're still in the band.
But, you know, you see, you know, and you hear the stories with Ric Flair, like, you know, like a year prior to this, like, he wasn't willing to take his shirt off and had no confidence in himself. And, like, here he is now having a great match with fucking Chris Jericho. And, you know, there was no... And I was reading about it where they were talking about, like, Jericho basically had a fight. They wanted Flair to win with, like, an inside cradle or something. And Jericho's fighting. He goes, no, if Flair's going to beat me, let him beat me with his finish.
With the figure four.
Like, because the funny thing is, like, how many people have won with the, you know, with the figure four? Very rarely ever, you know? And it's like, he's
like, yo. Greg Valentine and Ric Flair.
Yeah, the guy's going to beat me. Let him beat me with his finish, at least.
Facts.
And that's a young, you know, and Jericho probably, I'm just going out on a limb, I never read any of his books, but probably wasn't too fond of Flair in his WCW days, where Flair was a part of that, you know, upper echelon, the elite, you know, where, you know, all this stuff. Where Flair was very good with working with the younger guys, you know, Guerrero, you know, those other guys, Billy Kidman. But, you know, but in 02, you know, kudos to Jericho going, hey, listen, we could tell this story the right way. And, you know, and... I loved it. And like I said, seeing a young Jericho with that stupid goatee he has, and heel Jericho is always the way to go.
Facts.
So I really thought it was a good match, you know?
Facts. All right, moving right along. How about Eddie Guerrero versus Edge?
What an opening first few matches.
Yeah.
These matches are.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Guerrero coming out with the, you know, Latino heat. I think this was the start of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's the heel and Edge is the babyface.
Edge is coming up now as a solo guy.
Edge coming out to...
Never gonna stop. No.
It was...
You think you know me? The first one. That was Edge's music, right?
That was Edge's music, but it was Rob Zombie. Was it Never Gonna Stop?
Yeah, Never Gonna Stop.
And I remember, like, listening to it, like, holy shit, I can't believe that was the song.
Yeah.
And they didn't blur it out, so clearly WWE had some points on that on the back end.
Yeah.
But, this was a great back-and-forth match.
Yeah,
and
no, this was like Edge's coming out party still.
You know, Guerrero goes for the frog splash, but, you know, Edge gets his knees up.
Yep.
And he hits the execution, which was, you know, I've always loved, like, that Impaler DVD. I think Big Vito always did it the best, where he would just swing him around.
Oh, the DDT, Impaler DDT, yeah.
I've always loved that, and but it was good. And then, you know, basically Edge hits him with the spear for the win. And, you know, not many, not a... First four matches, no cheating to win, no nothing, just straight up wrestling matches. I think that's the way a pay per view should be. I could do without the backstage segments, you know, and all that stuff, but I enjoyed it. The next match was the Un-Americans.
Lance Storm and Christian, the tag team champions.
I did dig the promo a little bit. They were definitely digging into Long Island a little bit, yeah, which is hilarious.
Being the two Canadian hockey fans, too.
Yep. The Un-Americans' fresh win off of the last pay-per-view against the Dudleys, getting the belts.
That's right.
Now facing Booker T and Goldust, which, very underrated tag team.
Yeah, and they're still using the old belts, too.
Yeah.
It's so dope. Yep. I love those belts.
Goldust looking great.
Here. He was always good. Listen, even when he was heavy, even when he was in his binging and he was really in bad shape, like, personally... Goldust can always go. Dustin Rhodes is fantastic.
Yep.
You know, he carried that Rhodes name with grace, even though he dogged his dad on TV when he was all junked out and bitter. But, I mean, he recovered from his divorce.
Yep.
He tried to reinvent himself and Impact. Didn't work out for him very well. But he...
Yeah, Dustin can always go.
He can always go. And Booker T is the man. You know, Booker T was, I told you, one of those guys who... they kept him from WCW and with the reason.
Yep.
You know, he was the 5-time champion. He was a multiple-time TV champion, multiple-time tag team champion. And basically for the last half a year of WCW, he fucking carried the company.
Absolutely.
So Booker T and he's a Hall of Famer now, and he was King of the Ring, and I love everything Booker T's done. He's fantastic.
Yep.
So this was a good match. 9 minutes and 40 seconds. Big Test interfering.
By the way, and I know we put it over last week, Test really does throw one of the best, biggest boots.
He does.
He does.
He does.
And we'll see Test a little bit later on.
Yes, but he comes out to help his boys retain the titles.
And it was like I said, a big win by the Un-Americans. Lance Storm. I like to see Lance Storm wrestling. You know, Christian, I'm glad that he's back. You know, we were kind of diming on him a little bit before about him having a match with Matt Hardy. We'll see how that goes, you know. But I enjoyed the match. I enjoyed this. And what was the next match? Test and Undertaker was the next match.
Yes. Undertaker versus Test.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, there was nothing really of note here. Kind of like your basic Undertaker match. Taker gives Test a lot of stuff here. It wasn't a long match. What was it, about 7-8 minutes? And Lance Storm and Christian come out. By the way, these guys take one hell of a choke slam each, Lance Storm and Christian. Taker gets Test up for the tombstone, which was pretty impressive. I mean, Test had to be every bit of 300 pounds, but he was tall, 6'7", 6'8". And I thought it was good. Like I said, I think Test gets a pretty bad rap sometimes. And, he can get it done in the ring. And clearly Vince thought so too, because Test was always in a prominent spot every time he was featured. I think they were trying to put him with Christian and Lance Storm to kind of fix their in-ring work a little bit, perhaps. You got the best of all worlds there with Lance Storm with his in-ring work and Christian with his mic work. You know, if anything could rub off, it would be there, you know? So, but, yep. I love when Taker coming out to the day. The dead man walking.
Dead man walking.
Fucking love that.
Right?
It was excellent coming out. And then we just seen him in 2003 come out to the same thing with the motorcycle. And you know, that doesn't last too long. I've always loved Big Evil.
You did. You've mentioned that several times.
I think they should have revisited it a few times, coming back. You know, like the way that Foley did it with Cactus. You know, that idea of, because, God, he was such an ass kicker. Taker coming out, cutting promos, just having just great wrestling matches. So I wish they would have done a little bit more with that.
Mm-hmm.
The next match is clearly got to be everybody's favorite.
Yeah, the unsanctioned street fight.
You know, and it's funny because last week, what did we just do? Did we just do Vengeance? We did Vengeance 02?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and they would the big storyline was where is Triple H going to land? Raw, SmackDown, Bischoff on Raw, SmackDown with Steph. You know, and then Bischoff had used Shawn Michaels to kind of goad Triple H to come in to Raw, and then he comes to Raw. And in my head, I'm like, you know, fuck it, a month later, don't they have that big SummerSlam match? And I totally forgot about that, you know, this is where it happened, and then... What was it? Shawn Michaels gets thrown through the window, through the glass or something,
yeah.
And it turned out to be Triple H. The way that promo was excellent. Where
yeah.
He's like, I'm going to get to the bottom of it, and then all of a sudden it turns out to be him. You know, they CGI it or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's great.
2002's version of CGI.
Yeah. A lot of technology's new still, so.
And
they were always on the cutting edge.
Yes. It was almost like GTV-esque.
Oh, wow, that's right. Holy shit, good reference.
But you know, and then, like you said, that whole idea, and then they do the unstation then, and JR and the King do a bang-up job, like kind of saying, hey, WWE's got no hands in this. As far as they're concerned, as far as Eric Bischoff's concerned, this match is not even happening. So like,
yeah.
they do a really good job of like kind of eking it up that way. You know, and Shawn Michaels coming to the ring with a tank top and jeans on.
With the Bible verse on the tank top.
I liked that idea of it's unsanctioned, like that that's what was always good about Crockett, where it's like, come dressed as you are.
Yeah.
The bunkhouse brawls. Like, you know, that was always good. And, you know, how old was Sean at this? Sean was what, 37 at this point? 38, somewhere
Yeah,
around
he was
there?
Still, basically, the whole back injury thing, he was trying to work through that. And he did, pretty much. And it didn't seem like it affected him very much.
Well, I you know, and listen, say what you want about Sean, you know, he had that thing in 97 where his knee, he had a bad knee, but then he does a backflip in the ring. You know, I don't think that this was, I don't think that back injury was that. I think, you know, I think a lot of it was trepidation. I know, I remember, was it Triple H? Was it Triple H that said that it was Sean's mother was there. They were, I think they were working out together, and like Sean's mother was like just like eyeballing Triple H the whole time, like making sure that she, you know, doesn't hurt Sean, doesn't hurt his son. But this wasn't Shawn Michaels' first match. He had a match in his wrestling school, Texas Wrestling Academy, against, I used to know his name. I think that was in 2001. He had a match. It was Supreme. No, that was XPW. I can look it up.
But either way,
I remember watching that on CompuServe, of all things. That was my internet provider back in the day. It took me about 45 minutes to download that fucking
match.
10-minute match.
Right.
After
you download the Sonny picture.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway.
But, I mean, what... So 2002, this was a big deal. This was a big fucking deal.
This was huge. And you know what? Kudos to Triple H, too, for like you said, telling the story, revealing himself to be the villain, and then, like, you know what? And then he does the job, basically. You know, it's been almost 28 minutes.
Yeah, and... Once again, it made sense. Even like the idea of, you know, Triple H takes his time getting in the ring, and when he gets in the ring, Shawn Michaels kind of goes buck nutty already, and you know goes at him a little bit, and I laughed when they did like the Universal spot where they shove him into the ring, shoulder block down, leap over, leapfrog, like. That was like Sean's first bump in the match, was just taking a shoulder block. And I guess, I wonder if that was used as like a temp, like a compass, like, oh, wow, that didn't hurt. Okay, let's see what I can do now. Like that idea of it. And, you know, at this rate, if you look, Sean didn't lose a step at all. It looked, one, it was in great shape, looked the part, but even the timing in the ring, there was no signs of ring rust. And just the story of it all, the idea of catching Sean for the backbreaker and kind of like Triple H holding him there, what seemed like an eternity, and then went into the backbreaker, and then the air gets, and the crowd gets silent because it's like, holy shit, Sean's back.
Yeah.
And then he does it twice or three more times after that. And it's just that story of it, and just fucking loved it, man.
Yeah.
I loved this match. I thought it was excellently done. You know, crazy table spot, Sean doing that dive off the top rope, even, you know, signaling that he's crazy. And then he gets the win in a roll up of all things.
Yeah.
You know, and
it was just pure exhaustion at that point. I mean, they obviously knew the finish, but like, you know, it's like, all right, it's time to go home now. We've been doing this almost a half hour, you know. So, you know what? I'm not. Sometimes, you know my pet peeve about these dramatic matches and they have that shitty ending.
Yeah,
I can't be mad at this because it told a good story.
It
really did tell a good story. And you know what? And they're friends in real life, so you know it works.
Yeah.
Anytime you're friends with your dance partner, it always makes sense. That's why I can't watch these fucking dancing shows on TV because these people aren't friends in real life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But these guys are friends in real life. They're best friends, you know, and you know, it made sense that they can do something like this, you know?
And then, like you said, I mean, and then how do you keep the story going? You hit Sean in the back with a fucking sledgehammer.
That's it.
Jesus Christ.
That's how you do it.
And like I said, I mean, and I wonder, you know, I never read Sean's book, but I wonder, like, going into this match, if he was just like, yeah, I got 8 more years left in me. Or I got 9 more years left.
They
in
don't
me.
Know. They don't,
you know what
they,
I mean? Or was
their
it,
body dictates
was
that.
Was this used for a, like you said, like, let's just see what I can do. And then he's in the match going, oh, shit, oh, shit, I could do this.
Right, 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 right.
You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if it just turned on a lot of lights in the room for him. And, you know, it this was great. I mean, multiple reasons why. But the most important is the story that it told. And like I said, the simple move of the backbreaker. Just it's a small thing. And it just, the crowd went silent. JR sold it like it was just fucking the best thing. And I loved it. You want to become a wrestler, watch this match. That's exactly what you do. A little bit hardcore-y, you know, garbage cans and tables and chairs and whatever, but they did a really good job, for sure.
All right.
And this match should have went last, because how do you top that?
Well, you top that by making Brock Lesnar the next big thing.
Well, that's exactly
that,
it.
And The Rock's a household name at this point. And he's the undisputed champion. He's defending against Brock Lesnar, still his coming out party.
Yep.
And I think this is Brock's first championship, I believe.
Yeah. I tell you, I kind of miss this Brock. Like, you watch this Brock.
But I was going to ask that. Like, I feel like it's a full circle, though, man. I feel like he was a heel for so long.
Not even so much that. I meant the work inside the ring. When he came back in when did he come back? 2012, 2014?
Something like that, yeah, against Cena. That match was great, though.
The match is great.
Extreme Rules, you're talking about?
But
oh, my God, I love that match.
But I'm just talking the idea of the work. The work, maybe work rate, maybe that's what I'm trying to get at. But the idea that he can just, it's not, okay, Brock's on the offensive, here's a suplex. Brock's on the offensive, here's a suplex. It was more than that. It wasn't, you know, it's not a collar elbow tie-up, universal spot. No, it's not that, but it's a little bit more involved. Like, Brock was just, he was working for it a little bit more, I guess is what I'm saying. And now, listen, that being said, I mean, what did Hogan do besides sell big boot leg drop?
I get your point.
I get it. And maybe that's what I'm trying to complain
about. Brock
was
a little lighter, a little more athletic.
Possibly.
You know? Yeah, he changes ring work.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess a lot of guys do that just to... Listen, not for nothing, though, young Brock took too many risks.
Oh, my God. Those bumps.
Right.
Just
so, but, so maybe he finally said, you know what? I'm not killing myself for this shit. I'm already a household name. So maybe he changed his ring work to save his body. Because you have to understand, too, he lost like a third of his intestines.
Yeah.
He also went to UFC and dominated there for like a year or two. And then, you know what? You evolve as a character, and then you evolve as a performer, because... It's like music. I mean, I love Steven Tyler, but he's pushing 80. He don't sound like Steven Tyler from 25, 30 years ago.
No.
You know? And musicians, like, you know, sometimes a guitar don't play sound as great, or drummers don't sound great. Sometimes wrestlers don't wrestle as good as they do anymore. I think he changes ring work up just for the sake of saving his body.
Yeah.
You know?
But he, and like I said, I mean, what a fucking match. Like you said, the bump to the outside.
Yeah, and
it was
Rock,
sketchy as fuck.
Yeah, Rock was Rock basically carried him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was good, but he's not.
Well, Rock definitely called the match. You could see.
You had to. Yeah. You had to. I mean, Rock's almost 10 years in at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
And speaking of his Vince in 03 right now,
just
angle with a chair.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Brock, look at that.
This is a great match, actually.
Listen, side story here, really quick. Just looking at Vince, he just had a great visual. Had that look of I didn't do anything. Vince knew. Vince is the greatest on-screen character. The idea of the big gulp, you know, when he was in trouble, like the broken glass would hit, and then he would do the dramatic gulp. Like, Vince is so, and like I said, maybe was saying this. You know, it's almost like posthumously, almost like, but like, Vince was so fucking good. Look at that one-legged fucking F5.
Yeah.
Oh, Brock's so good. And like I said, going back to the 02, The Rock made him shine. The Rock made him shine.
Right.
You know,
right,
and
right.
That was Rock's version of going, hey, kid, I'm going to the movies. Vince, who do you want me to make?
Right.
That's what that was.
Right. That's it.
Yeah. And it was perfectly done. And like I said, it was a big deal. Brock Lesnar, especially 02, he's only been here a number of months, and massive impact. Paul Heyman getting involved, you know, kind of doing, kind of getting involved in a little bit. Paul Heyman had some fucking jet black hair back then too.
Yeah.
Definitely uses a little shoe polish and now.
It is 20 years ago, partner. We all can't be handsome like you.
But man, I tell you, now look at Vince now. Vince just a fucking, he is a genetic jackhammer, I have to admit.
Because if you spend all your time in the gym, that's what happens when you're a fucking billionaire.
Look at this. Look at this. One-legged.
No, I can't wait to do this next year.
Yeah, we got to do this next year. Let's just do it.
No. Let's do it chronologically.
SummerSlam 02, there was not one bad match on this.
This is a fantastic card. And
this is not. There's not one bad match. The gate speaks for itself.
Yep.
The buy rate speaks for itself.
Yes.
Maybe now. You know, I mean, like I said, let's fast forward now. It's Vince is gone for now.
See what happens.
Maybe, like I said, you insert a little fresh ideas. Change up how the soup is made. You know, you're not stressing everybody out, and then all of a sudden it's 5 minutes before showtime, and you're still, the ink hasn't even dried on the fucking run sheet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe we change that up a little bit. Yeah. Maybe the product will feel better. Yeah.
The big difference now is, you know, the fans are smarter, obviously. The internet was still in its infancy in terms of wrestling at this point, you know. But now the fans are more... This is the era of message boards and hotlines and stuff like that.
Well, that's, you know?
You're not gonna fool them, you know.
You know, but even too, like financially, the company had just gone public like 2 years, 3 years prior to this, so they're still feeling their way around this stuff. And you know, financially, they're doing well. Look at Vince. Vince is a great actor, horrible athlete. Look at him, he's just fucking flopping all over the place. And now he fell the first time on accident, so now he's got to fall again to make it look like he did it on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
But...
I like the La Parca equals rating sign in the crowd, by the way, with the La Parca sign.
This is true. Look at Vince! Look at Vince taking an angle slam on a chair.
On a chair.
On a chair that...
Hope he did legs that day in the gym.
Oh, so good. Listen, I, to go back to Vince... at the end of the day, we're all here because of Vince McMahon.
I said that in my Facebook page post.
We're all here because That's of right. him. You know, I don't think you should judge a man, based on what he's done, I guess. Like, you should be saying the opposite. You should judge a man what he's doing when the cameras are off. But you know what I'm trying to say is that I think he's done more good than bad. I mean, he's made, you know, horrible decisions with hiring and firing people and talking to people. Like, there's always all those stories. But I think at the end of the day, like, his heart was in the right place. And you hear more bad than good, but I think Vince wants that.
I don't get all wrapped up in that, man. You know, no one knows these people personally. And I feel like, you know, My appreciation for his contributions, he's the reason why I'm doing this. He's the reason why I was a happier kid in a really shitty fucking childhood. He was the reason why that was my biggest escape was pro wrestling, besides, you know, me playing sports and stuff like that. The biggest release for me was either reading a comic book or watching WWF on Saturday mornings and Saturday nights, for that matter. You know, I craved for it. I was at the magazine shop the first of the month when all the shit came in. I went to 2 WrestleManias, 3 if you count the fucking, or 4 if you count 3 and 10 I watched on a big screen.
Yeah.
Right?
That counts.
Right? But this is what I'm, you know, my life is better because of him.
Yeah.
My extracurricular life is better because of him. So I'm blessed. I'm not going to dog him. I'll dog the decisions he made.
Absolutely.
And some of the shit he pulled.
Creative,
right, but other than that, he's responsible for everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Like, we don't have enough time. We don't. we can do a whole podcast on it. We can. We can do a series of them. You know, we could break down decades of Vince McMahon, you know? That might be an idea, actually.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, we could do the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s, and the 2010s.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Who's that, John Smoltz?
That's Louis Gonzalez from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
That's who that is, a world champion, 2001. All right,
I guess they're in Arizona. Jamie, who's that?
Jamie Colby.
Sexy Diva Search winner.
Yeah.
She can get it.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready to get out of here?
I'm ready to get out of here, pal.
Anyway. All right. You guys don't know the gimmicks, man. Social media gimmicks. We're off next week. It's my birthday.
It's his birthday.
I may drop something just for you guys for the little shits and giggles. Other than that, we'll be back for the anniversary show. Join us live. It's going to be at night, 7 o'clock.
Yep.
Hope everybody can make it, you included. We're going to have a nice crew of people here. It's going to be great. We always do it up, and it's SummerSlam 1992. So, partner, good luck with your stuff for the rest of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody take care. Comb your hair. Don't get the clap. Don't get arrested, and don't be a jerk off. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.